Thank you for the pause.
By the way, Sam Russell's name is not Sam Russell. I only mentioned that because that's radio personality, and there was a reason for that. His surname is Bell. And there is another radio personality on that same station, as a matter of fact, who also is called Bell. So Sam did not go into this. I just thought I would tell you because as he spends more time with you, and he will, because we are going to have eventually these radios network and television networks. So Sam is a very giving, loving, beautiful human being, offering his service. We have another beautiful person who's tried and tried to get out here to the meetings, and he gets so far and his car breaks down. And for no reason, he perceives. But he is a architect, landscape architect, and he has volunteered his services to help with any kind of systems, equipment, whatever, for the spell fields. And so I would hope that Rod and Charles, etc., are very gracious about that. He means it, and he'll be invaluable to you. And he can make it quite a lot longer. He's been quite successful at what he's doing. So he can afford to volunteer if we don't take up too much of his time. So let's hear some reports on things.
Question, Commander, please.
Please.
Now that we know, now that we know that you guys are going to show up on June the 5th of 1995, I'd like to know what airport at what time so I can be on time.
You don't have to go anywhere. This is one time that will come to you. Only let's not make it in June or July. Why don't we try August? I really think it would be nice for the Mountain Festival or something. Next.
I have some questions.
I'll hear them.
Okay.
I may not answer them, but I'll hear them.
Oh. No, I'll try. We'll take you with it.
Talk into it now.
Okay. As you know, my daughter is a scientist, and I've been trying to get her to take some of this electrolyte solution. And she's come up with an answer. Of course, she's not really willing to do what Mother says, but the argument that using the iodine to keep the thyroid protected from cancer and invasive radiation, she sees as a useless operation because the strontium-90, as she understands, will have a life... a half-life of 7 years, and when it gets into the bones, then you're dead before the cancer hits you. And I had no response for her not being knowledgeable about those things. Can you tell me about what we can do for that possibility of strontium-90 in the bones?
No. I can talk about it, but... that's just something that you're going to have to accept, is that there is no perfection. Remember that. And I want to go into that, so thank you. Did you want to ask other questions before I answer it, or?
Yes, or I can wait until after you answer it.
Well, the thing that, if you get exposed to something like strontium-90, you're in bad trouble. So let us assume that we are working toward something as good as we can make it. And out there over a period of time, if you can protect your thyroid, I want to tell you, you're a long, long way down that road to possible survival. I cannot even get enough iodine into you to be prepared every day. That's the reason that you're going to have to be prepared to hit yourself with heavy something or other in that shelter, if it comes to that. On the other hand, what we are offering you on a day-to-day basis is simply what your body needs to keep itself in perfection, so that it is not lacking and can withstand quite a bit of bombardment by simply changing a few things. I'm going to repeat, because there's so many scientists who know all of everything, and then they will say, well, I really don't understand it, so explain it to me. And that is to put you at a disadvantage. So they don't have to come along with whatever. Well, if you can't even answer that for me, I'm not going to go with some idiot harebrained scheme. You know, that nerd tells you to eat salt. And everybody knows salt is bad, and now he's going to have you eat butter with salt in it, probably. Yeah. Preferably iodized. Because there's so much effort to get iodine out of your system, where are you going to get it? How many of you are trained well enough to know where, if you can't get iodine in your food supply, where are you going to get it? And how many will go chew kelp tablets? Better than that, go down to the ocean and chew kelp on the seashore, where you may be able to get some. They have managed to destroy both your capacity for thought about these elements. And let's raise another great big honking flag. So what if you never get strontium 90? Maybe it'll be titanium, and that iodine will take absolutely good care of it. I'm not, please understand me, I'm not belittling the question. I am just getting insensitive to the silly arguments. Don't drink it, then, is my answer to the world. How many go drink Gatorade and never think about it? And there are things in Gatorade that I would suggest you not drink. Come on. We're not even giving you a medical regime. For goodness sakes, we're not in the medical profession. Thank God in heaven. So if nobody wants to put it in their mouth, don't let them. Keep it from them. You must have cellular balance before you can have anything. And all of this, don't do this, don't do that, live in this little pocket over here. You don't need any vitamin supplements. I mean, anyone who eats a balanced 3 meals a day is getting how many of you in here do it, and you know about it? Usually the same doctor telling you this is having his quart of sugared 7-Up and his hamburger or his donut. And I'll tell you, if you get your body balanced, quite frankly, even with Gandriana, every cell that replaces will have its perfect DNA. It also, therefore, can reproduce the things that cell needs. If it is supplied, and almost everything you need is supplied from the air, and what you don't get from the air, you will get from water if it isn't purified, where everything is taken out of it. Some of the things that you cannot get from either place, you can get out of chlorella, yeast, spelt, red lentils, etc. Do I expect you to go on a diet of nothing but Gandriana drink, spelt, chlorella, and red lentils? No. For one thing, there's not enough spelt in the world today to do it. So meanwhile, back at the farm, our hope is while we are working on this survival technique, we will also have a project that will bring in farm implements, get you a market going for this grain product that is superb, and you will be able to supply a need for the populace. That's good business. Find a product that is needed, supply it, and you have a market. Dorma alone has 18 loaves of bread back there. She'd been giving it away, you know, by the basketfuls. Unfortunately, however, it's not her privilege anymore. You know, they're now like $1,500 to $2,000 in bread machines and the Word and Gaia source has been supporting the movement. So I want to tell you that you ones who want the 18 loaves of bread, I doubt that those kids are going to let you get it for free. Mother, you don't have the right to do that, especially when all the expense is poured in there. Now, good Rod Ends, friend that he is, has been selling at a loss if he priced it. Spelt is expensive. And he has been, how can you count his labor? This is what you ones do not do. You don't count your labor. Why, I would do this for my friends. Why would I not do this? How much is your time of value if you do it and someone else does not? What is it worth to them who does not? You see, I'm not going to give you a market lesson here. I'm just saying that spelt can be a major product for you. Our hope, remember, a grist mill in the valley for you. That's because when you are an island, you will have the substances you need to survive right at your fingertips. And as far as electrolytes and what we are working on, and this is something that none of them will understand, because if you took a bottle of Gandriana down to a lab, they would be hard put to, they are such idiots that it'll be hard put to find anything in it. What are they going to test for? Oh, well, we'll test with a pH strip and we'll find out if it's alkaline or acid. We'll find out if it's got sugar in it. We'll find out if it's got this in it. And then maybe we'll even do a stain for bacteria, and we'll do even maybe on the outside a stain for virus. We'll put a little gentian violet on there, and we'll, you know, we'll see if it's gram negative or gram positive. Otherwise, it looks like water is liquid and it's pretty clear, and who knows? You have to get on down there with a microscope and look at the cell. And guess what? Your enemies, your people with all these opinions will taste it and say it, but well, and it smells a little rank. Sure does. If you don't get it in the sun and get it completely saturated, every little aloe vera cell is going to be still reacting with every little Giardiana cell doing its final processing, getting ready to just sit in solution. And that releases hydrogen peroxide and other little gases that need to be pulled off. And yet, Dorma has learned this. Just in trying to get the process speeded up, you see, I have been guiding her. So I make her put things in it that she can look at and see that it's not finished. As long as there is a tinge of red in there, it's not finished, sweetie, don't touch it. Or if it doesn't turn cloudy and then begin to clear, you've got too much in there, you're going to have to dilute it down. It's oversaturated and needs more food. So now get a little more aloe vera, get a little more of this, get a little more of that, and go out and do that in the sunlight and watch it. And when you get it right, it'll just begin to clear in the sunlight almost instantly. And then it will just completely evaporate the color. And as these different things take place, you can literally watch it happen. Yesterday, there was just a very, very interesting situation of working with this so that the youngsters could then take it away and out of her hands, because now we have maybe, 10 or 20 gallons that are right up. And they can now be replaced into the bottles. And that will begin to replace orders and things. And as you come down to the cloudy part, or that is being put aside, and then it is being decanted, so that only that clear, saturated, but not cloudy elements is left for bottling. Now, add that cloudiness to a decanter and watch it. Kathy and Karen were stunned. You can go and literally see it quivering. The solution will just sit there, and it is so filled with movement and energy that it will just sit there and vibrate. Now, this won't mean anything to you, Nora. But guess what we're doing with that? You know, Dorma has absolutely nothing to do with her time, so I think up things. And as we bottle the concentrate, it's going to be too hard, except for special cases where there is a known ongoing disease taking place, malfunction taking place, to try and offer Carbergia just for routine maintenance. Why? Because it only takes a little bit. My goodness gracious, it only takes a tiny bit. So we are going to put that integrated into the concentrate. I'm going to have her brew, and we will give you some of these recipes as we go along. Ken Coons can share, but I think Ken ought to make a business of it also, and that is the spent beverage. Literally, you can roast the bean or the grain, the kernel, pull part of it off when it's toasty, and go ahead and burn the rest. By burn, I mean cook it till it looks like a coffee bean color. Grind that. And then perk it. In the toasting, you're going to have a release of the B17. And if you perk it, how better to get it than in solution? So I'm going to have her do this so that we can mix it with the base for what we're calling the tea. It no longer resembles the tea that you started out making. But it's going to be integrated so that when you get the finished product in concentrated form, it will reconstitute from a quart into a gallon. Do not mix up a gallon, or you will be shocked. It will turn bilious green. It will be terrible. And you must shake it. Now, by putting the carbregia in there, and also we will have at least 1 ounce to 2 ounces of Giandriana in there. It has to be shaken. Remember, we are having to introduce a full spectrum of vitamins into that juice. The yeast molecules, the chlorella molecules, the spirulina molecules, etc. I want, and this is something, please make a little note, I want her to add selenium to that. When she went digging, she couldn't remember what it was I asked her to get. You only need little micrograms of it. Tiny, tiny. But we're about to have that one perfected. We know the amounts. It's just a matter now of getting the amounts. So that on maintenance, you can do away with so many of these other things. You won't be able to do completely away with the Giandriana, but you won't have to add carbregia because it will already be in there. And we want to thank some of you who brought your bottles in to be replaced, because when they were emptied, some of them had the very mother, the very life source of absolutely perfect Dionys. Dharma Capit. But we let her have her little pleasures. I wouldn't want to cross and tell anyone else's secrets. But that is the very substance put into distilled water that's used for injectable. There's no need unless you are desperately ill to go with an injectable. And that's what I was waiting for ones to back off. And I'm sure that they will try other lawsuits and things, but you see, by changing this enough to reclassify it, then it takes away that FDA problem. And if you have an intelligent lab that can break it down or will break it down, they will find a full spectrum vitamin. They will find everything in that bottle that we say is in there. It will be perfection. And you begin on your product lines. So Nora, let's have the next one. Since I didn't answer her, you see, really.
Well, I think I'll send the tape to my daughter. Thank you very much. I've been studying Walter Russell's work, and Karen and I have come up with a question about the Divine Iliad. He has two volumes, one and two, on messages from the Divine Iliad. And he uses some material in there which he says is from the Divine Iliad. And we wonder if there is a source book called the Divine Iliad separate from the two books he calls messages from the Divine Iliad.
Well, when Walter Russell refers to those kinds of resources, he is referring to the divine source.
Yes.
And the beings or the voice or the knowledge, the contained data banks or the book of knowledge is to what he's referring.
I see. I thought that might be the case. Another question about Walter Russell. He wrote an extract from the Universal One, and he called it the Russell Gennaro Radiated Concept. And it's just an expansion of material in the Universal One with the sun changing and worrying and so on. But in that introduction, he indicates that he is going to write 15 more extracts, and he lists the names that he will give them, but I have not come across any of those books that he planned to write in 1930. Did he continue with that project?
Not as such. He was involved with some scientists at that time, and almost all of those particular things were put aside. Man was not ready to have them. And I believe that if you could have looked into Walter Russell's mind, you would have found it difficult for him to accept in stark terror for mankind to have presented atomic suicide. As things began to evolve, and as he began to have better insight and vision into the direction of man, many of the messages and the messengers were put on hold. Those are coming through now. Makes it very blame hard for them to come through now. But you will see that ones in distant places, you will find information will be coming through from New Zealand also. Very similar to that which is coming from South Africa. And these are distant enough from my presence that they will be able to be utilized. But no, there's no point in going and looking for things. There are manuscripts, there are other things that Lau Russell did not get her hands on, or did not understand well enough for them to have any value. there are other documents that will be uncovered, but I don't think you're going to be able to find them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think there's one more question that's been kind of buzzing around in my mind for several months, and that is the question about your statement that any one of us here could change the world. And I would like you to elaborate on that, if it's possible.
Well, I would like to appoint you as the one. That's delightful, because I have the rest of the day, you know, and the subject. But I can brief it down to a total bottom line. You are all a fragment of the, T-H-E, the one, O-N-E. The one is God, is truth, is love, is light. You are a fragment of the thought of the one. You come back in knowing when you, as fragment, come into total knowing. You become again one with the one who is creator. So where does that put you? It puts you one with creator. Anyone recognizing the strength and the power that comes from being creator has the capability of creating. And you all have it. You don't trust it. You don't think you have it. You don't understand it. Well, I wouldn't dare do that. But you see, by the time you come into the knowing, you will not misuse that. But you practice your creation by utilizing the knowledge that you have that capacity. Set your goals, know where you want to go. And this can work, good or bad. The mind will supply the answers. You get something into your subconscious, feed it in there, demand an answer. And this is why you're so creative in many of your workings. I'll figure a way. I think I know the way. I had the light bulb go on. Guess what that means? I saw the light, and through it I have knowledge. Now, the body may have to work, the consciousness may have to work to bring this into play. Those are simply tools. If you were without body, you would be able to bring in the knowledge, but you might have to utilize something else to bring it about. The higher you go, the less of the physical you have to use to precipitate a created situation. And you have a situation where you can have evil manifesting great and wondrous things for themselves. Because if you can convince the conscious mind that it has a capability of doing something, and then that is drummed or programmed into the subconscious, there will be a way found to do it. But if it is not of the light, it won't matter how many toes are stepped on or how many people are killed or what has to happen. The subconscious mind will find its way to accomplish that. But you've got to really believe and you've got to really desire. Once you desire strongly enough, you will come up with the way. What you have to guard against is the wrong way. you could take your nation back with enough guns and enough bullets, but that's not right. Therefore, you will not be able to do it. God will take it back with a pen and the truth. There may not be many left around to be worth it, but you have to understand something. They are part of the one also. They are just such low frequency and so they're just so ignorant of what it is they're about. And most of their goals, G-O-A-L-S, circle around Friday night, Saturday night, the next drink, the next buck, the next job, or the next welfare payment. That is their life. And then you will find the higher or more intelligent, educated of the group whose goals are something different. But their goals will not be the perfection of the embryonic cell that can replace your entire body in very short order. So you have to have the goal. It has to be centered on God. And when you realize your power in the oneness with God Creator, when you come into the knowing, you know you can do anything. And the reason that you will not do the wrong thing is because also you will have come into the knowledge of what is right. And you would not consider doing that which is evil. There is not one being created by God who has not that capacity. There are plenty of people running around without that capacity because they have basically bred out soul. Just exactly what you've done to your nation. Your nation is a nation with no soul. It has no soul left. Some of you have soul. Planets, nations, people have soul. It is the collective direction or the collective thought, emotion, energy, focus, and your nation's lost all goodness of soul. Can you bring that back? I would guess that as I study, yes, you could. Let me preface my own statement by saying, absolutely. Just one of you can. See to it that all ones. One man can change the entire perspective or perception of a world. How do movements get started? But what will happen probably is that you will continue to deteriorate as a social unit, a social consciousness. And it will continue to be gradual in some areas while they really strip you of those set beliefs that were instilled in you in the form of goodness. Because if you are birthed with soul, you know the difference. That has to be taken away from you. That has to be bred out of you. So you are dealing with two major problems. One, as the generations come along, you are having robotoid types of cogeneration that generates or manifests a being. But it will not have that, quote, breath of life. It will be programmed for this period of time. It will live, it will die, and that will be all there is to it. Then there are the ones coming in with soul energy. And those ones are birthed knowing the difference in right and wrong, but are immediately taken and trained, reprogrammed, if you will. There is always the possibility, and if circumstances come right, the probability they will reclaim their soul. And then God really has a team player. Others have never lost the focus. A lot of times the worst thing that can happen to a worthy person, servant, who would be a very godly leader is that they get born again, I think you call it. And born again is just as bad as you can get in perception. It isn't, you know, it focuses wholly on a man called Jesus. You don't hear the Muslims saying, oh, I'm a born again. They will say, I'm a born again Christian. What they mean is, I'm a born again Jesus believer. I am born again into Jesus, with Jesus. It's a nice thought. What is the next thing they'll tell you? I am saved by His blood. And basically, I don't have to do anymore. He took away my sins. And I'm going to rapture simply because I believe on this man. And so you say, well, what about that man? Well, Christ Jesus. Tell me about that. Christ? Yes, you know. That one from Nazareth. Well, what is Christ? You are using Christ as a label. Well, yeah, right, man. I'm saved. Praise the Lord. The last three words will get you farther than the first seven books. Praise the Lord means I am going now to my higher appreciation point. I'm going to thank God. Thank you, God, for sending me Jesus to take away all my sins, and I don't have to do anything. And I am born again, and I'm going to go out and what? Spread the word of the rapture and the resurrection and everything. Well, we're going to show you how to resurrect. Doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. We're going to show you how to ascend. Doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. We have nice, shiny craft that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. And therefore, we could save you bodily, which doesn't have anything to do with Him. And this born again Jesus being will snatch up that Bible and He will read every word in it, adjusting His entire life to it verbatim by definitions that somebody else is going to tell Him. The same one that will quote you Daniel and Ezekiel and tell you what it meant will come up here and redefine it a little bit later to suit whatever he's doing.